this week, Sega announces a system to leverage arcades for regional multiplayer, and I'm excited for it. More opportunities to have a larger player base of still local competition sounds great to me. This is just one story about playing together apart. Stay tuned for the rest of the week's news, starting right now in the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 822 for this June the 7th of 2020. My name is Rob Roberts, and I am joined virtually in this pandemic era by my awesome co-hosts via Discord. Say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Hello.
Hi.
But you must remember, not just every gamer has a voice, but especially our Black gamers.
Especially that. And we'll talk about that here right at the top of the show in just a moment. I also want to say hello as well, of course, to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi. And Techmaster Loki is using what? You got like a green screen thing going on, huh? We're up in the effects tonight at OLR.
It's because my wife didn't want the camera on like last time. So this way it hides the background so you can't see anything. I don't actually have a green screen. It's just software.
Okay, well, it works pretty good. It looks really good. So I like this. We have the different collections going on. We have Loki's green screen. We have Dark Sakura's Kirby and doll collection going on back there. And then, of course, good old Studio N7 like you're used to seeing here behind me. Well, let's get to it. It's been a week, so they say. We didn't do a show last week because it just would have felt tone deaf, I think, with everything else that's going on in the world. I know this show oftentimes is an escape from what's going on in the real world. We've had a lot of tragedy. This year, we've all been impacted by COVID-19 and everything that's done to us personally. And so I know that in a lot of those times, this show is really an escape from a lot of those things. But last week in particular, I think it felt that an escape would have been wrong. That would have been the wrong thing because we all needed to stop and listen. And we need to continue to do so. Just because we're back tonight doesn't mean, hey, stop listening. But last week especially felt like it would not have been appropriate for us to be here and talk on top of the conversation about a bunch of things that were going to get canceled or delayed anyway, because the world right now is having a more important conversation. A big part of the inspiration for coming back tonight, there's this content creator that I follow that I met at Dragon Con. His name's Roberto Blake. He does a lot of YouTube type creation and a lot of how to promote yourself and how to be seen on YouTube. It's a lot of great stuff. I highly recommend his channel. But there was a video in particular that really got me. And it was like, you know, what do you do as a content creator during these times? And there are some people, a lot of people, that kind of need the mental health break that a show like this can provide, or the sense of community, I think more importantly, that a show like this can provide. So the message I kind of took away from his video was continue to produce, but you don't need to promote right now. And so you'll notice I didn't really promote OLR a lot tonight. My co-host didn't either. We have the bots that kind of do their automated thing, and you know, we let them continue to do the automated thing. But otherwise, we haven't really been promoting because there's other things that need to be promoted right now. And that is obviously the voices of our Black family as they – and I do say family because this show was rooted. Orange Lounge Radio started, of course, as – myself, Dark Sakura, Loki, the folks you see here, all sitting around the dinner table after playing DDR with our friends and sitting around talking a little bit smack about video games. And I hope over the 18 years that we've done this show, I really hope that you've found that we especially welcome those voices from the marginalized communities, including, you know, LGBTQIA+, since this is Pride Month after all, and our Black friends and family. Obviously, none of us are Black, that are the three that are kind of the names behind the show. I'm very lucky, fortunate, thankful that so many of you do come to the chat room, come to the Skype calls that we used to do, the Discord calls we were doing before COVID-19 happened, and are here with us and are a part of our family. And I do consider you all part of the family. And that's why I stand with you guys and everybody who is sick of this shit going on in the world. And enough is enough. And shit is going to change. And thankfully, thanks to the protests, thanks to things that are happening, we're starting to see little baby steps. Of change. But these are baby steps that wouldn't have happened if we didn't raise our voices loud and so on. Jamie, I don't know if you have continued thoughts on this, but you are always able to express very eloquently these difficult political, I guess, struggles in your positions.
Y'all heard that? I'm eloquent. Well, for me, it's been very much being caught in between two worlds because I'm from Alabama. I have a lot of family still there. I followed some people who I thought had matured after high school, and one of them, namely one of my exes, just turned out to be a real racist piece of shit. So it was like, you can take your opinion and shove it up your urethra. And we all know where that is on the dunes. So, yeah, I blocked him. I blocked a few other people. My mother and I got into a really big fight and, you know, and finally just had to call truce that we just weren't going to discuss some of these things. So what I've been super proud of is that once, and I'm going to say it like this for a reason, once people got the selfish looting out of their system, and they have you know, proven that they are not among the protesters, that we have seen what peaceful protesting can accomplish. We've seen ugliness come out and have people turn it around to be something very beautiful. And I'm talking about that stupid, child protection wall at the White House. I mean, you've seen what people have done. They put signs on it. You know, look, did you see the crowd on the Golden Gate Bridge or the Manhattan Bridge or, you know, people who have just come out in force? And people have tried, like, not just police have tried to do this, but everyday people. We had a guy run a tanker truck through a crowd of protesters. We've had cops run over people. And right now, we are looking at a gigantic toddler temper tantrum with people who have access to more things to throw. We're looking at the death throes of the world as it was. We are watching it die, and we are a part of history. And that being said, I am proud of every one of our listeners that I have seen on Twitter, on Facebook, on any of the social medias, the people that I have today. And I'm really proud of people for, even if you can't go out, or even, you know, if, I'm just trying to think of another way to phrase this. Even if, say, you are like me, I'm immunocompromised since I had, pneumonia, and I have an autoimmune disorder. I have friends who are HIV positive and living with AIDS who, some of them have risked illness to go participate in the protests. There's a lot of misinformation going about people, you know, coming down with COVID at the protests. And I think logically we are going to see another increase in a couple of weeks, but the numbers that you're seeing right now are from those idiot protesters with their guns wanting their haircuts and massages and, you know, and not wearing masks. I've seen a bunch of protesters out there wearing their PPE and social distancing. But we also get it from, you know, the dumbasses who went to the beach the moment that they opened and places that were completely unintelligent. We're starting to see a rise here in California now with the restaurants reopening in a lot of places. We're starting to see a rise in cases again. Like I told y'all, but who listens to me or history? I'm just saying. But we, and speaking of though history, we saw this happen. You know, what people, when they bring up Dr. King, you know, they bring up, oh, he would have been against this. It was a peaceful protest. They show that picture of him walking. What they don't show is the 5 minutes later with him being attacked by people, with the cops attacking, with it turning into a full riot. And don't forget, he was assassinated. So every last one of you taking a stand, who is out there protesting, who's coordinating protests, every last one of you who is doing something that isn't just performative, you know, online art, I commend you. I am very proud of our listeners. I am very proud of a lot of folks in this industry. And keep it up. Keep the pressure up. We cannot back down.
No, it was great. The one thing I do want to say with because you talked about COVID and restaurants, and you and I have talked about this. I went to a restaurant about a week ago, and it's not the same as it was before. I think the key word is precautions, and my viewpoint of probably why the cases are going up in this whole situation is that you have people out there that do not want to follow precautions, right? And we've all heard about the Karens, right, and the Chads that don't want to wear a mask and feel that it's oppression and all that stuff. And if you're not willing, to follow the precautions, that's, I think, the truly dangerous thing. And why, you know, because it goes back to all those people that were crowding the beach and all that stuff.
It does.
Luckily, and to bring it back to the real important topic, luckily with the protests and things, we are seeing a lot of, you know, the masks, the social distancing, the fact that it is outdoors and, you know, it's a lot harder to transmit outdoors than it is in an enclosed space. So I think, you know, I'm praying that we don't see a spike because of the protests. The only times I wince is usually because there's a conflict that the cops started that caused the crowd to now move and, you know, because they're being tear gassed or something's going on. And now social distancing rules are being broken.
Did you see that they were pulling the masks off of protesters?
Yeah, it's terrible.
And attacking medics and reporters.
The one that really, like, really got under my skin, and there's a lot, I mean, but the one where I was like, what is the fucking point, is the one where the cops are just driving down the highway, spraying pepper spray on people that are protesting at the side of the road. Like, what the fuck point is that? That is waving your dick, and it's ridiculous.
And anyway, there was the one older gentleman who went out extending his hand in peace, and they knocked him down. And like Hype Mayhem just said, shoving a 75-year-old man to the ground, injuring him, and then lying about it when there's fucking video. And yes, they were finally arrested. As well they should be.
And thank you for acknowledging our chat room, because, of course, we do, you know, tape live, and we want to hear your comments, as we do tape live Sunday nights at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. I want to come, because I think this is a very important point to bring up. Marissa, our dear friend and pal and voiceover lady, Marissa, says in chat, not allowing racism and prejudiced people to hide in your life anymore is a protest. And I think when it comes back to the question of what can I do, what can we do, you know, well, one thing we can do, because one thing that I am hearing from my friends who are Black are like, we're tired of having to educate people. We're tired of being the ones that people want to go to. Well, how do I do this better? There's resources out there. Use them, right? So I feel like that's one thing we can do, is that we can educate our friends who don't get it. You know what I mean?
And better educate ourselves.
Well, yeah, of course. We got to educate ourselves before we can educate other people. But I also feel like that's a place that we have to work on, that is educating other white people. Is what it is.
We also do have to know when to cut them out.
Yes, but I think it's a delicate line, Dark Sakura, and I don't know if you and I see completely eye to eye here. I think we do. I think there's a middle ground. I do think there are a lot of people out there that are capable of changing. I know that because I've changed. I had a shitty stance on trans rights at one point. Now, it wasn't as shitty as J.K. Rowling. It'll never be that shitty. But
oh, Lord.
I had an opinion. You remember when that whole RuPaul's Drag Race and the you've got male, that whole thing happened?
Yeah.
I was on the wrong side of that argument in the beginning.
I remember that.
But I educated myself, and I was wrong. And I'm sorry. You know, but I learned, and I learned about where I'm starting to understand now better where the other side is coming from. I'm understanding why trans people hate that word and so forth, you know, and so forth. And I educated myself, and now I know to do better, and I can teach other people that.
So, or why some of us are sick of them using the word fish.
Mm. Yeah, and there's always going to be consistently things that we have to change within ourselves and learn from our mistakes. So I do think there are a lot of people out there. You know, I really don't like the whole cancel culture thing. You know, there's some element of it I get, but there's another element of it where it's like, if there's a tweet from 10 years ago, you need to ask yourself, has that person changed? Has that person learned from that? Has that person done better?
Well, here's another example, though.
Sure.
There is a, and I use this very loosely, gentleman who has a battery business. And I some people might have seen me on social media posting about it, who has doubled down on his vicious racism and calling for people to be shot, who has a criminal record, has had several restraining orders against him by the Sikh community, and has been doing this for 10 years, and you're not going to get people like that to change. The only thing that you can do is make them suffer for it.
And I ask you, have you ever heard of a Sikh person that's nasty? Have you
never.
Ever in your life? Never.
Like, they practice peace, and they came out during the fires, and... You know, took people into their own homes and into their temples to take care of them.
Yeah.
But I mean, like with that one, you know, business, I'm like, a person should not provide a business that believes that because he could harm his customers. He could harm the community. And so we have to hold them accountable.
But I think if you're one of those people out there that, you know, when you hear the phrase Black Lives Matter, your instinct is to go, well, all lives should matter, because, you know, you we all have heard it, right? You've all heard that response before. And I want to truly believe that there is a good clump of those people that can realize that what they're saying is hurtful, that when you say all lives matter in response to somebody saying Black Lives Matter, you're essentially saying to somebody who is crying out in pain, I am sick of seeing people like me murdered on the nightly news by the police. You are saying to, when you respond to somebody saying Black Lives Matter, say, well, all lives matter, you're saying to that person in pain, shut the fuck up. Why would you
say other people have it bad too?
Why would you say that to somebody in pain?
Well, I even countered one of my mother's arguments last night, because she like I said, she was digging in. I actually used something out of the Bible that she believes in to illustrate why Black Lives Matter. And it was Jesus talking about, you know, if he has a flock and one of his flock is missing, he will leave the rest of the flock to find the missing sheep, because that is the one that's in danger. The other flock is safe at home. And that right there, if my mom is rebuking the Bible that she claims to believe in and the teachings of whatever, you know, deity creature that she claims to believe in, we have so many other people doing that, and they don't understand that they are violating their own faith.
There's a very simple...
It's hypocrisy.
Absolutely. I'm with you. And there's a very simple word you can add to Black Lives Matter. If you're one of these all lives matter people, there's a very simple word you can add to Black Lives Matter to help it make sense, potentially. And that word is two. Black Lives Matter, two. That is what it is. Because all lives can't matter until Black Lives Matter.
Exactly. You're going to put out the house that's on fire.
On that note, Black lives can't matter until Black queer lives matter, Black trans lives matter. And so, you know, it is Pride Month after all. And you obviously, that is, you know, a particular family that's very near and dear to my heart, because, you know, I'm part of the LGBTQIA family. When
your activism has to be intersectional.
Yes, absolutely. You can't say, you can't say all lives matter and then continue to watch as Black people get hurt. That's what we talk about. Your activism can't be. It's just...
I've had to point this out to other Jewish people who are white passing Jews. And the reason why it's phrased that way is because they can hide that they're Jewish, but still a victim of their own special type of hatred. And it's a racial hatred. But the thing is that, you know, I flat out told them, what would you have said during World War II? What would you have said if you were being harvested and taken off to a concentration camp, or in the ghettos being beaten, or being brought out into the street and shot simply because you were Jewish? And there are Black Jews, Ethiopian Jews. We come in all shapes and sizes, but we were all Jewish. And the whole thing is that people are only looking through it one lens. If you put it in a lens that they'll understand, then hopefully they'll get it. But some people just dig in. They just dig in and they don't want to change because they think they're right. And what's important to them is being right, not being compassionate.
I want to address go ahead. I'm sorry.
They listen to the turd in chief.
I wanted to address a comment in chat earlier. Mirror Muse in chat says, I'm saving up to donate and researching where. And there's a lot of great choices out there worthy of your consideration. And you'll notice we've updated the ticker bar along the bottom tonight to not just showcase video gaming news, but spotlight some of these websites and resources that you can, you know, check out if you are so inclined. My advice, because this is what I did. I saw that lots and lots of people were donating to that Minnesota Bail Fund, which is great. That's a great, worthy use of money. I was also hearing, though, that they almost had so much money that they were distributing it to other places. So I wanted to keep my money local with some of the things, like some local efforts. Again, you need to do what you need to do with your money that you do a little research and so forth. And I'm not going to tell you, oh, I did it better. This is a suggestion.
Start in your home community.
Because guess what? If you research some of these different charities, you're going to educate yourself along the way, which is that's the silver lining about this whole thing. The first place I donated, because I just thought, you know what speaks to my heart? Do you know what speaks to me personally? You know a language that I love to speak with somebody about is independent media and homegrown media and getting your voice out there and getting heard. So this might be a little local, but Jamie, I know you know these folks, the folks over at Black Zebra Productions. I gave money.
Oh, yeah.
I gave
them
money.
They're awesome.
Because they're out there tirelessly covering what's going on here in Sacramento in the way that no other news network or news organization is willing to do. Like, they are in the trenches showing it to everybody on Facebook and holding
things accountable.
I've been
in contact with them.
It's great. They're a great organization. I had a friend online who was who happens to be in Minneapolis, who was organizing an effort to get some hot food together to give to Black communities in need during all of these issues going on. And, you know, this is somebody that is I can't consider like a great friend, but like an online acquaintance. We Survivor LARP together. That's how we know each other. But I was like, I want to help you specifically because what you're doing is – so I gave money there too. So – those are the kinds of things, and that's not all, but those are just some things I wanted to name because there's a lot out there. If you kind of look around, there's a lot of great causes that I think you're going to find that speak to you. And maybe you're going to find something like I did where I was like, oh, this speaks to me, and I want to help this for sure. I don't know if you have any follow-up advice on that, Jamie, on how to like research organizations that are worthy of your time and or money.
I know that if you're also looking for ones that are associated with like LGBT facilities that are associated with Black charities, you can also check out your local LGBT center. And that is, bye Felicia.
I'll address that in a minute.
Okay. But anyway, you can look to your local LGBT communities and your community centers, and you can take ask them, hey, do you work with any Black charities? Do you have any resources for Black trans people or Black queer people? You know, offer to work with them in relation to certain things. Like, for example, I don't know of an LGBT center that doesn't have some sort of communication with like a separate trans center or a separate Black charity. We have here in Sacramento a wonderful woman, Ebony, who works with I don't know if she still works with the Gender Health Center, but she's very active in, of course, both the trans community and in Black Lives Matter, and absolutely just a delightful person. And I'm even going to see if I can get more resources from her in particular that I'll be happy to share on my Twitter with everybody.
I want to address this comment in chat, and y'all know which, what I'm going to here. Swang Tong in chat says, okay, I'm done with this podcast right now. I'm sick of all the virtual signaling, and yes, I'm also not white, so please don't assume. Sorry to hear that, but I ain't apologizing for shit. And
nope.
History is going to show that you are on the wrong side of this. I've said earlier in the show, if you will open your ears and open your heart and open your mind, you can change your mind. But if you're willfully going to put up a wall and shut it off, bye, bitch.
And don't confuse heartfelt words and real anger for fucking virtue signaling. That's bullshit.
We have done this show for a much smaller crowd. We have done this show for a much larger crowd. I'm not here to please anybody. I'm here to be me. She's here to be her. He's here to be quiet. No, I'm just kidding. He's here to be him too. Okay? But I'm not going to apologize for this passion. You're so lucky that you don't, you're so lucky that you're in a position where you can turn this off, where you can walk away. So if you want to use your position of privilege, whatever it may be, to walk away, bye. But you know what? You're not going to escape this forever because history's a changing. That's all I got. History is changing. And
you're either on the right side or you're on the wrong side. And doing nothing puts you on the wrong side.
You think it's just us, bro? Let's talk about I want to thank for the perfect segue. Because if you're going to walk away from this, you're going to be walking away from a lot this week. Let's talk about some of the ways that the industry has been responding. What a great segue. Dark Sakura?
Let's do it. I've got a good number of examples. There are a good number of companies who have come right out and made a statement and have even canceled some major unveilings because of what's going on in the country. Like, for example, EA, I know we like to take a big, big internet dump on EA from time to time. But their quote is that we stand with our African-American Black community of friends, players, colleagues, and partners. Our immediate attention is on actions we can take to drive change against the unjust treatment and systematic bias that is plaguing the nation and our world. It said it would find another time to talk football with you. So it postponed their meeting, the EA Play Live event, on June 18th and to June 18th. They planned on doing it June 11th. Moving forward, Naughty Dog, they have pushed back the release of Last of Us Part 2, and they published the tweet with Black Lives Matter. They said, many of us at Naughty Dog are donating to national and local organizations. Please consider donating yourself. Riot Games also came out speaking about it, saying, hearts are heavy as hope seems lost and trust has been broken, but they stand in solidarity with the Black community against all acts of injustice, racist, prejudice, and hatred. Marvel came out and said, we stand against racism. We stand for inclusion. We stand with our fellow Black employees, storytellers, creators, and the entire Black community. We must unite and speak out. Granted, they said the same thing for all Disney properties, but just saying. We've got other major companies. Tim Cook came out and said a nice big long letter about what's going on in the world. And I mean, he's from my hometown. I'm super proud. Just proof that Southerners can escape the stereotype of their location. Now, itch.io has a bundle of 742 games that they're selling for $5. A lot of these, I don't know if it's all of them or most of them, but these are games that are either from Black-owned companies, a story that involves equality and justice. And it is pay what you want. Your minimum is $5. And all proceeds go to the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund and the Community Bail Fund, split 50-50.
I think it is some Black creators in that. There's over 700 games in that. So I think it's just everybody who wants to help.
Well, and just a few. First of all, Babysitter Bloodbath, just saying. The Night Fisherman Oxenfree Desktop Goose. He just is a goose that hangs out on your desk. There's Troika, which we, I think, covered a little while, Daddy, a little far back. I'm sorry, I was looking at Plant Daddy when I said that. Just looking at a few other. I saw one that had Be Gay, Do Crimes. It's called Kissing Comrades. It's a 200-word LARP of anti-fascist making out.
And by the way, it is Gay Pride Month amongst all this, but I think in this particular year, like, you're really looking at Gay Wrath Month happening. And the little outburst you heard from me earlier, it's not going to end there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we are all tired. Every single, like, COVID-19 was enough. We are all tired. Like,
I want to play this one. It's called Three Lesbians in a Barrow.
That's why I'm not
going to say. I was going to add that we may remember a while back we had Sega on the show to talk about a game called Dominique Pamplemousse.
I remember that.
There. Also in
oh,
there.
Oh,
yes.
Cool! Good call out. Thanks.
There's a game called Order a Pizza and Super Hexagon.
Oh, I love
there's
Super Hexagon.
I think the other extension for Dominique Pamplemousse. So yes. there's quite a, the Destined. That's also on there. So It's a really, really good bundle. And I'm kind of on the broke side right now, but I donated $10. At least I was going to double the minimum. But it's absolutely worth it. And I can do this for folks in the chat as I am just going to paste it in the chat. But it's called The Bundle for Racial Justice and Equality. Just look it up. It's worth your time, worth your money.
If you go to the itch.io main site, because I couldn't fit the whole link in the banner across the bottom either. If you just go to the itch.io main page, it's right there. You'll see a banner right in the middle of the page.
So we do have some other ways that the industry is stepping up. The Pokemon Company is donating or has donated $200,000 to Black Lives Matter and NAACP. They gave $100,000 each. And Niantic also pledged that all of its proceeds from the upcoming Pokemon Go Fest, with a minimum pledge of $5 million, will be donated to Black game creators and nonprofit organizations.
Niantic's move here was big. Like, I was so proud to be... Like, I'm usually one of the biggest critics of Niantic games. That's because I love them so damn much. But, like, I was so proud when I saw, like, what they were doing. Because that was a great example of, like, not just open your purse, but, like, do something. It was great.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I also like what the Pokemon Company had to say about it. Here at the Pokemon Company International, we believe in friendship, inclusivity, and equity. These are the values that anchor the Pokemon brand. There is no place for oppression within our community. We stand in solidarity with our Black employees, fans, and families who continue to be impacted by systematic racism and senseless violence. To another tweet out there, there's Smite. They came right out and said, "Today we've completed a full chat log review and have suspended over 5,000 accounts for racism. We've also implemented new tech for our team to find and punish racist actions more easily. We still have work to do and are committed to ensuring Smite is a hate-free environment." And then I saw further down in it, just looking through a post, that there was someone who, I'm trying to find it, they found someone who had been really bad about it, and they actually banned him, and instead now they have it to where he's donating like his entire paycheck toward Black Lives Matter, one of the charities. But I thought that was really good that they did that. Another one, and this one of course is a bit nearer and dearer to my heart. There's protests in Animal Crossing, and now you know how there was the big Hong Kong resistance protest that had been on enough to make China want to ban Animal Crossing. Well, now we have a big slew of Black Lives Matter protests, of people getting together, you know, putting video up, putting content up. I even in my Animal Crossing community, it is a private one, so let me know if you're interested. But I do have a big thread on here of people just posting things related to Black Lives Matter. And things also, I have another one for LGBT items, but I'm happy for there to be crossover in those two things. I like that one of the people running a Twitter. It's the Animal Crossing Struggles Black Lives Matter Twitter. Said the lives of real people matter so much more than just an account gimmick. So, there you go. I've been, you know, posting what I can. I'm picking different things that interest me and adding the message to it. You know, we can do a little bit to raise awareness. We can do a lot more to be a force for change, and our video games can be part of that. We can hold mm-hmm. the companies that we buy from, we can hold their asses to the fire and say, do something. And at least they see which way the wind is blowing and are acting accordingly.
And I think it's like when we talk about like actually making the tangible change, like for how long have we all complained about going on to Xbox Live? And Xbox Live is just my baseline, any voice chat in any game anywhere. But how long have we complained about going on to Xbox Live and all you hear is racial slur, slur for gay people, slur for gay people, racial slur. And now, like, finally, after all these years, I mean, you hear a little bit here and there. We're going to try to do something. But now, like, to have these big games come in and say, enough, and really start to swing, like the Smite example and all that. We're going to put in technology that finds this stuff and weeds it out. Like, thank you. Finally, we're moving in the right direction. And that's going to make gaming better for everyone. See? You want to all lives matter this stuff? Guess what? By addressing some of the inequalities over here, we can all benefit. How about that? Am I right?
It's just, I'm so heartbroken and disgusted.
I know.
Just,
Let me go. Let me go ahead and move on to Loki because you have some other industry companies you want to talk about and what they're doing.
So Activision, Infinity Ward actually are making some changes to Call of Duty Modern Warfare to address some of these, as you mentioned, you know, racist, homophobic comments that are in chat and that type of stuff. So they put out a tweet on the 3rd saying that there's no place for racist content in our game. This is an effort we begin to launch, and we need to do a better job. We're issuing thousands of daily bans of racist and hate-oriented names, but we know that we have to do more, and we are. And it says, in addition to that, they're adding additional resources to monitor ID racist content, adding additional in-game reporting systems to increase the number of bans by hour, adding filters, greater restrictions on name changes, evaluating in-game improvements to make it easier to report offenses, and increasing permanent bans to root out repeat offenders. Along with that, they also had added some Black Lives Matter content to the game as well. So they have like kind of a little bit of a splash screen and kind of a part of the where you sign in and talks about, you know, how, you know, this is an important movement and that this kind of behavior is not going to be tolerated. And then on another company, we've got 2K Games. So in NBA 2K20, they're giving players I Can't Breathe Black Lives Matter shirts and Say Their Name shirts all available for free. So you can, you know, of course, dress up your player to kind of commemorate that. And then they're also putting up a banner about in memoriam for George Floyd. They're going to be suspending gameplay. They did it for 2 hours. And I know there's other services that done the same thing, like Grand Theft Auto Online did that as well, and Red Dead Online. And it looks like they even had, you know, of course, with these different shirts and whatnot, there's people doing like protests within the games as well. So that's kind of cool that they're doing that. What else? So we have other charities, of course, getting large sums of money from different companies. So one of those being Niantic, they're donating $5 million at minimum to support Black Lives Matter as well. I'm not sure what the exact charity that they're giving to, or if it's going to be kind of split up amongst that. It looks like that they had also mentioned they'd be donating $100,000 to the Marsha P. Johnson Institute as well. That helps, it's dedicated to protecting and defending the rights of Black trans people. And then what else? So that's it. Yeah.
So go ahead, Jamie.
I was also just noticing, I can actually go into it later, but just I just saw a new stream of information come by with other people who you wouldn't expect to support the movement supporting it.
Yeah, no, I saw that earlier as well. You're talking about Mitt Romney, right?
Yeah, but also yeah. GoFundMe suspended Candace Owens.
Oh, right. There. Yeah. So, yeah. So anyway, yeah, and I think that just goes to show, like, you don't have to be left-leaning or right-leaning to understand what is, you know, what the nation's talking about right now. Like, it's not a political issue. People want to make it a political issue, but it's not. So anyway, but again, and as I responded to our person that had to loudly announce that they were uncomfortable, so they were leaving, the industry is listening to these protests. The industry is making small changes. And, you know, and it's not just in video gaming either. Like, we're seeing other industries across the board respond to this. This is the one – this one I think is kind of powerful because it is Pride Month. Dark Soccer, you know about those apps that gay guys and the like
Grindr.
To use Grindr, and do you know the big change they made this week?
Oh yeah, they're removing aren't they removing like the ethnicity filter?
They are removing the ethnicity filter, so you can no longer search for people by ethnicity. And of course, a lot of people are responding to that with, well, why was that even there in the first place? Which is a great question. However, I do think you should still, you know, applaud this. This is tangible change. This is great change in the right direction. We should be asking that question. Why was that even a thing in the first place? Because that just plays into the whole, you know, oh, it's just a preference, you know, and that whole.
Now, I have heard at the club saying, well, I met up with this dude, but he was Asian.
Oh.
Or I met up with this dude, but this.
Girl,
I know.
I've heard a lot. I know. But and that's why I'm saying this is a great baby step. I mean, again, it's not like we can say, hooray, war is over. But it's a great baby step in the right direction. And these are the types of things that should be acknowledged. And like, yay, we want to see more of that. Right. So and the gaming company is doing a lot of like good stuff. And, you know, I know this was the episode we should have been talking about PlayStation 4 and heading into, or excuse me, we can still talk PlayStation 4, should have been talking about PlayStation 5 and a lot of the stuff heading into E3 and all that stuff. But you know what? Well, that stuff will still be there in a few weeks. It'll still be there, you know, because right now these conversations can't wait anymore because lives are at stake. So. Anyway,
absolutely. The lives of other humans are going to matter more than what you feel about a game.
Right.
Sorry.
That was true about COVID as well. And it's that hasn't changed. That part hasn't changed. For some reason, some people's feelings change, but that's a whole nother, you know,
those
what
people can bite yeah. my ass.
Anyway, those people, I don't know what else to send, but thoughts and prayers that they're going to change.
You know what good that does.
I know. But what else can I send those folks that they might listen to?
Diarrhea.
All right. Anyway, Marissa.
Oh, my gosh. I smell nothing but poo. Maybe if I stopped being shitty, people would stop sending me shit.
Marissa,
see, I'm smart.
Marissa in chat says, inspired by Rob, I'm going to yell, yay, now more at brands. I don't think I invented that, but sure, if that's, thank you. I'm flattered. All right. Anyhow, let's move on. Because I know we've spent a lot of the show and we needed to. But I also know there are a lot of folks that are still looking for video game chat and who need a moment to decompress and talk about games. So let's talk about games and what else is going on in our gaming world. So let's talk about our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we have been playing this week. And I suppose the last 2 weeks, if you want. Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
Animal Crossing. And we got, of course, we got AC/DC Pinball, which I finally took some time to play. And we still have that scared stiff over here, but Dan bought one of the old Star Trek tables. And he brought him something else, but I don't remember. I think it was just the Star Trek one. It's a little toasty in this room. So really, that's about it. I haven't really been doing much because honestly, Animal Crossing has been my happy place. It's been my comfort. And there you go.
Yeah, and I hate to say this because I know it is hot in there, but be careful with the fan too close to the mic because we can hear the
Oh, normally I have this thing muted.
Okay, oh yeah, that's all right. Sorry. Although we do love a fan as an accessory, but you just got to be careful with the mic. Okay. Let's see, Loki, how was your gaming week?
It's all Minecraft. So I played lots of Minecraft on our realm, and I started to play Minecraft Dungeons, but then I stopped because it wasn't recognizing my controller for some reason. And it could be because when I plug in my controller to my, was it USB hub or whatever, it starts to kind of freak out a little bit sometimes. And so it'll think it's like a second player controller. And some games don't like that necessarily. And I just didn't want to bother with it. I didn't want to play keyboard and mouse, even though that game probably could be played keyboard and mouse pretty easily. But I watched the intro of it. But then I went back to playing regular Minecraft, and that's what I've been doing an awful lot. So in our realm, since we've been doing all survival, we have this giant mansion that I've built. We now have I was trying to make a villager spawning farm. That didn't work out, so I had to do a plan B, and we just... Now there's too many villagers. And then today was making food farms. So we did melons, pumpkins, and I made a sugarcane farm that makes way too much sugarcane. So now I know when I go back, I'm going to have 3 chests full of sugarcane. And my kids love it.
Awesome. I've been enjoying Minecraft Dungeons as well. I was playing it more like the last week as opposed to this recent week, but it's fun. It's very like old school Diablo. It doesn't have a lot of the like conveniences and the features that a newer Diablo game has. It's very parsed down, but I've enjoyed it. I've probably played more of that than actual Minecraft.
I do want to go and play it eventually. I know it's really short. I heard it's like about 3 hours long and stuff. So I'll probably end up playing that at some point, maybe this week, if I can get the controller stuff working correctly.
Whoever's saying it's 3 hours long is just going straight from point A to B and is not exploring every nook and cranny, and that's not the way I play Diablo. So, because I've already spent at least 3 hours in that game, and I'm probably only like 4 maps in.
Okay, well,
so it depends on how you play games. It really does.
Yeah, so I had to play that at some point. And, of course, I play lots of Orna, so I've been doing... dungeons each day, so usually about at least two dungeons a day, because I have one that's near my house and then one that of course you always have, and then I've been hitting the raid boss that just sits there just eating, you know, HP, and so I've been doing that a lot, just trying to level up stuff and level up gear. So I have a bunch of ornate stuff.
You need a Zet to go give it a whooping, because that's how I finally got my raid boss down, as she came over and she just put up like a million damage on it.
It's not that like I can't defeat it. It's just it takes a long time. And I just don't want to spend time doing this. What the hell is going on, Jamie?
I think she's having a conversation she's having a conversation with chat, showing off her different toys or something like that.
I'm trying to be visually appealing, but the only appealing thing I have are my toys.
So and then finally I got my setup. So like even though you can't really see it right now because of the green screen software, it's XSplit VCam, because I don't have a green screen. I thought about getting one, but those are kind of expensive and they're hard to find right now. And it does the job okay. It's kind of like Zoom or something like that. But let's see if I can actually get it. But I also have my snowball right here on a boom arm now. So super fancy. And I've got an actual Stream Deck as well. So super fancy. And I need to do some more streaming.
That's great. Nice. All right. My gaming week. I've been playing.
Sorry. One last thing I wanted to interrupt with.
Go for it.
And it's important. I wanted to congratulate Extifer and Matt on their brand new baby.
Thank you. That was pretty awesome. That is very important to say. So our pal Extifer and his hubby Matt, they had a baby. Am I allowed? Maybe I shouldn't say the name. That might be private. But I'll ask him if I can say it on next week's show. But I don't know how to pronounce it because there's two ways you can pronounce the name. Somebody's got to tell me later. Don't say it on air.
Right.
Well, and also, I just want to say, even though it was a paid service, I do want to say good job to their surrogate for going through the pain that goes into making a person.
Yeah, even it's sure there's money involved, but it is still a very selfless thing to do. Like, I am going to go through this pain and trauma to help gay guys have a baby. Like, that's and there's also it's also important to note that there's a donor as well. So it's actually two women involved, but yes. So. Kudos to everybody. Making a baby's hard work. There's a lot of people involved. All right. Anyway,
excuse me. How does that look like Jigglypuff?
That's a Kirby, not a Jigglypuff.
That's Kirby.
All right. Anyway, my game of the week.
That's Jigglypuff.
I've been playing a little bit of Animal Crossing, but Darksoccer, don't be disappointed in me. I think some of the thrill might be winding down in Animal Crossing. Like, I think because I beat the turnip game. And I'm not a very good remodeler when it comes to what do I do with the town. I feel like I'm running out of things to do. I don't know. I don't know if I'm finding that motivation for me for Animal Crossing every day. Again, I understand.
You're lost.
I know. Other people are still having a great time with it. And I ain't here to poop on that parade. But I'm just I may have hit that point, Darksoccer, where I'm like, what am I? Maybe when there's more events.
The game's not over until you have 10 million bells.
Maybe. Well, I'm up to at least 6 or 7 million thanks to Stonks. So there's that.
Well, if you're done, just give me your bells. Shit.
No, because I think it'll be the seasonal events that bring me back, honestly. I think it'll be those that make me want to pop open the game and see what's going on. And you and I both know there's going to be DLC at some point. There will absolutely be DLC that's going to add to the game and add more to it at some point, right?
Well, that's how they're doing the holidays. And I mean, and we just got, with an update, we got Leaf and we got Red. And you know they're going to be doing Brewster at the museum. And
yeah.
Then you have to remember people's coffee orders, and that was kind of annoying.
Yeah, so there's gonna be a lot more that gets added to it and so forth. So that'll
I
yeah,
have
that'll
9 KK songs left to go.
Oh wow, that's great. All right. But I have been distracted by other games, and all on the Switch as well. I've been playing Clubhouse Games, which just came out like 2 days ago. Which is the 51 board game mini game collection, but it's great. It reminds me of like old PC games that used to put all this stuff together into one collection, and I used to love those games. And so Clubhouse Games is cool. I love the fact that they put out a client that you can download on a friend's Switch, or in this case, you know, the other Switch in my household, and so that way he can play the games with me if he wants. So that's great. I love that. That's a great feature. And so I'm liking that so far. And then I've been spending a lot of time with Xenoblade Chronicles. The remaster of that came out last Friday, and I've been spending quite a bit of time with Xenoblade Chronicles, and it's a good RPG. So many side quests, it almost gets overwhelming, everything there is to keep track of. And there's like, I feel like every time I'm like, okay, I got past this tutorial and I understand this part, it's like, oh, but wait, there's another layer to this game, or there's another mechanic we're going to throw into it. So I'm almost getting overwhelmed in that sense. But the good news is there is a Bobby Blackwolf mode. So they did put in the remastered like a filthy casual mode, essentially. And I'm not afraid to use it. So far, I haven't had to. Although the game has suggested to me maybe I ought to start. I died too many times in one spot. But I was like, no, I'm going to do this one more time. I'm going to go level up over here and then try it again. That worked. I was able to get past it. But there is a mode to make it easier, which I think is a great thing. And there's a lot of great things to do. So many side quests and things. And yeah, you guys in chat, Questbuster says, Xenoblade Chronicles is great. Mish in chat says, I swear that's my favorite game. I don't know if that's in regards to Xenoblade or if it's in regards to Animal Crossing, which Nifty had brought up before. But Xenoblade is a very, very deep RPG, and not the type of thing I think you usually would expect to see on the Switch. And I want to say, when I briefly looked at the Wii version years ago, I think I said something like, it's the best PlayStation 2 RPG on the Wii. And in a way, that kind of still holds true. Like, it's the type of thing you would expect to see on like a PlayStation, but it's a great Switch title for sure. So I've been loving Xenoblade Chronicles. So that has been my gaming week. So in my personal week, though, I do have to state I had like dental surgery on Thursday, and they took a tooth out. It's way in the back. You can't see. I still have a great smile, but one of my teeth was just beyond messed up in the back. So that's why you've been seeing
bye-bye molar.
That's why you've been seeing me scarf down food on stream. Why I'm going to step away right now to go get a pain pill, because I'm actually kind of hurting right now. So if my co-host would mind taking over for just a minute, that would be great. So we can start tonight's news. Loki.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Sony again. So Sony, unfortunately, has been fined $2.4 million by the Australian court for apparently misleading PlayStation players about their game refund policy. So it says consumer guarantee rights do not expire after a digital product has been downloaded and certainly do not disappear after 14 days or any arbitrary date claimed by the game store developer. It says what Sony told these consumers was false and does not reflect the consumer guarantee rights afforded to Australian consumers. So because in Australia, I think they can refund. There's some laws regarding digital purchases, if I remember correctly. But apparently Sony Europe was, it doesn't seem like there's that many folks that were involved in that originally. It says four players in Australia think that they only had 14 days to return a digital game, even though they could only get a refund if it was authorized by the game developer who made it. And a fifth person, meanwhile, had to, was apparently told by Sony Europe that their refund had to be in a currency at the PlayStation store rather than getting their money back outright. So, yeah, a little bit of misinformation. Unfortunately, that cost them, you know, $2.4 million, which that's not really good. And, of course, that's $3.5 million in Australian dollars. $2.4 is kind of the conversion rate. I mean, I guess cost of doing business, but, you know, they got to be in alignment with all these other countries because, of course, everybody has different laws in different territories, and it would Germany and even Australia at one point was pretty restrictive about what kind of adult content was in there, including violence. So
there's some really crazy consumer law laws down in that part of the world too. So
yeah, so it's kind of surprising, but at the same time, you know, not really. I don't know. I'm surprised it's Sony. I kind of expect something like this from, like, you know, an EA or 2K or something like that. But yeah, so that's unfortunate. I don't know. So let's see. No.
I'm back. Sorry, did I miss anything?
You missed up. No, you
Pearl,
missed
you missed us hallucinating. It was great.
I just realized I can see you guys, but you can't see my cam because of the way everything's set up, so you don't know that I just sat back down.
So. I do because I have Twitch.
Oh, you have Twitch up. Okay. Well, that's good. And then what's happening over here now because of the webcams running and everything that's going – I don't know about you guys, but my audio and video is completely out of sync on the monitor here. So hopefully it's not working that way on Twitch, but whew, we're still learning a lot.
I have it muted on Twitch, so otherwise I would hear echoes all over the place.
Oh no, Bobby says it is out of sync. Oh shucks, this is we're starting to learn some of the downsides of using the Twitch thing. I bet if I were to go to something like sorry guys, see I'm just learning this as we're going tonight too, that some things are out of sync. I bet if I were to go to something like I'm trying to bring up a new, well, whatever, I'll a spoiler alert for something that's coming up later. If I were to go,
I guess we'll just have the takeout video for next.
Change the scene there and change it back. Oh no, it's still out of sync. Oh gross. Sorry guys, I don't know what's causing that. All right, yeah, sorry, it's out of sync, and I'm not sure what to do about it right now. So we'll have to put up with it for a little while longer. I wonder if I go back to the shot that doesn't have the video in it. If maybe that'll help put it back together. Maybe it'll catch up. So we'll see. I'm going to just hang on the shot for just a minute, and then I'll go back to my co-host and see if that helps some of the syncing problem.
What you need to do is you just need to do what they do in the film industry, which is you get a clapper, you smack it, and then that way you just sync up your audio and your visuals when you go and post.
Well, I think it was
Rob,
fine.
Time to start learning Final Cut.
I think it was fine in the beginning of the show. And I think it's something where the taxing of all the stuff that's – yeah, because I think – Yeah, now as I look at the TV, it's back in sync. So I think it's something about like having to pull down all the visuals. OBS is choking a little bit. Yeah, see, that's all it was. I just had to go back. So what I'm going to have to do, I'm just have to be a little bit more intermittent with the video. So I'll have to show you guys for a little bit, and then when I notice it's out of sync, go back to just me. So, yeah, boy.
No more showing off toys. I'm
no,
sad.
No, we're learning. We're learning as we go here. So it's part of the fun of exploring new and fun toys here on Twitch. Okay. In the meantime, let's move on to the next story, which I think is mine, which has to do with more EA things that are popping up on Steam. So EA is starting to debut more and more things on Steam, including Burnout Paradise Remastered and Mirror's Edge Catalyst. All those games are showing up on Steam on some discounted launch prices that can be up to about 75% off. So, for example, Burnout Paradise Remastered is only going to set you back $4.99. Mirror's Edge Catalyst will cost you $9.99. Also, EA is talking about the EA Access, which is the video game service that is subscription-based, is going to be available on Steam later this summer. And that's I kind of think that's a pretty big deal because EA has their own thing. EA has Origin, and yet EA is going to be partnering up with Steam in this sense. Is this EA saying that, oh, Origin is done with, Origin is over, or what is happening here with this? Any thoughts on why EA might be expanding to Steam and letting this go from Origin?
Their
platform
like
is kind of garbage.
Maybe their platform, they found that people don't necessarily flock to the platform for titles other than the ones that they have to buy from that platform.
Mm-hmm.
And so
you know,
now,
only with playing The Sims there.
I think, well, some of these, I mean, a lot of these titles are all older things, so it's probably just stuff that they've stopped making a lot of money. No one's really going to Origin to buy this stuff, and so now they're just putting it on the other platforms to see what additional money they can make, and that's pretty much it. I mean, they're not doing it out of the goodness of their heart. They're doing it out of the, I want more money in my wallet.
They're doing it out of the tightness of their purse.
All right. Let's move on and talk about some Sega stories. Dark Sakura.
Oh, Sega. Oh, I want to love them like I used to. Sega is doing... They are doing a mini, if you will, or in this case, a micro. So for their 60th anniversary, Sega has taken the Game Gear and has done a Game Gear micro. And this shit is tiny. It is much smaller than... A Game Boy Micro. I have a Game Boy Micro. You have seen me try to play a Game Boy Micro. This is smaller. The screen is like maybe 2/3 the size, something like that, and it's not wide because, you know, it was fucking Game Gear. It is 80 millimeters wide with a 1.15 inch screen. Think about that. It is a postage stamp. But you will get a replica of the Game Gear's big window magnifying accessory. Oh, because you'll fucking need it. So,
that's stupid.
Each of the colors comes with 4 games installed on it. There's a black one that comes with Sonic Outrun, Royal Stone, Puyo Puyo Tsu. The blue has Sonic and Tails, Gunstar Heroes, Sylvan and Tails, and Bako Bako Animal. See, now Dan and I are going to have a fight because I want Puyo Puyo and he'll want Gunstar Heroes. Red has Game Gear, Shinobi, Columns, and 2 Megami Tensei Gaiden games. And yellow has Shining Force, Shining Force 2, Shining Force Final Conflict, and Nazo Puyo Arunoru. So, I don't know, maybe we'll have to get all of them, because, I mean, Shining Force, although I think that we have them all anyway, but we have, like, the Genesis ones. Actually, we do have a Game Gear that works.
I'm surprised they didn't make that a little bit bigger. I mean, maybe just to keep the cost down, but like those are really small. Like I would think just maybe make it a little bit smaller than the Game Gear was, and you know, I don't know.
So you know what's funny though about that Puyo Puyo game is that it is the front cover on it. I mean, to do a little translation on it, it's Arles Roux, because Arles the main character of it. This game is freaking weird, and it's a little bit of an adventure game, so which the cover makes absolutely no fucking sense for it. But there you go.
Some comments from our chat over twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Dartsutsuya says, I'm not a fan of only having four specific games of each one, especially at that price. Yeah, they are a little bit pricey, and it's not like you're getting a whole... I mean, especially when you compare it to, like, the NES Mini or the SNES Mini. Like, I'm not sure there's a great value in there, but I don't know. But Tiger Claw says, these are more for collectors. I doubt someone is going to spend hours upon hours playing these games on a tiny screen. And I kind of think that I think there is some accuracy to that comment, just because, like, I collect those, you know, those little mini arcade machines. You know those machines very well, Dark Soccer, that I collect those mini arcade machines, and I don't play them that much. It's just kind of like have them to collect them, right? Like,
we have a bunch of them.
Yeah. And I like to collect them. So
we also got that crappy Mortal Kombat one, which is just Genesis Mortal Kombat with no blood code.
It is Genesis Mortal Kombat with no blood code, but it's a collectible, right? So
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think they're $50 a pop. Well, technically $49.80 yen, so roughly $45 US. But the thing is that. I mean, there's not really anything on the red one that I would want to play. I mean, yeah, you get Megami Tensei Gaiden. And, you know, you have the Shining Force games, although, honestly, I didn't really care for them on Game Gear. I think I would just want the black one and the red one so I could get Outrun, you know, and Pew Pew, and I could get Gunstar Heroes, which we have an in-box sealed Gunstar Heroes for Game Gear. So...
fancy.
What's the point?
All right.
I bought it at California Extreme.
Which officially is not happening this year.
Exactly.
I don't know if you've heard the news.
For the record, the Golden State Pinball Expo, of course, was canceled. I think it would have already happened. And a good number of others. We're waiting for some of the other big ones to cancel.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's some other Sega news, and I think this one's pretty interesting and exciting. So we have one looking back and now another looking forward, right, Loki?
Yeah, so this is a brand new streaming platform that's looking to turn some Sega arcades to data centers. So they're calling it Fog Gaming, and the concept is basically using these arcade centers as like a kind of more locally centralized data centers. It'll allow users to be able to connect to these services with lower latency because they're connecting to nearer locations. And so not necessarily sure what they're going to be streaming amongst this service, whether it's actually, you know, arcade games or what, but it is kind of something kind of neat that they're going to be utilizing, though, these arcades to, you know, basically propel, you know, entertainment a little bit forward as well. It's a neat idea. Too bad we don't have that many arcades here in the States, but in Japan, they definitely have quite a few. So I could see how this is going to work out well over there.
Well, you never know if they end up partnering with somebody like Round One or something like, you know, Konami did to put Bomani out here officially in the U.S. in some way. You know, there's always those type of partnerships that could be explored. Of course, obviously, with COVID and everything, we're not really looking at arcades right now. Although, ironically, you know, Bobby had a great show tonight. And one thing he did, he went to an arcade in his town and brought some video back about how things are different and what they're doing in response to COVID and all that, and showed like the station right up front where you have to put on a mask and wash your hands, and how the pinball machines are spaced out more than they would be. So anyway, I won't steal too much of his thunder, but it is interesting to see how the arcade industry, well, I don't know if I should say industry, because this was like a very small kind of independent owner in his neck of the woods that's had to make some changes. But, you know, we were all excited pre-COVID about Round One coming to Sacramento, and I have
so waiting for that whenever that's going to happen. Well, that was supposed to be this year.
Loki, the reality is it might not. Like, what the hell's COVID going to do this whole situation? We don't know, and I'm not expecting it. I mean, yes, the governor is talking about a wider reopening starting next week, but when we talk about
unwise,
well, you know, again, when it comes to the governor, he's made a lot of great calls. He was ahead of the curve with some things. I'm surprised, but you know, and what I was going to say with the reopenings, all these reopenings have been with modifications. So it's like, sure, they're opening restaurants back up, but they're not like they used to be. And so, sure, they're going to open up arcades, but they're not like they used to be. So Bobby showed some of that on his show tonight, but it's going to be interesting to see, okay, does round one even open a new site at this point? Is it going to be completely modified? What the hell's it going to look like, right?
Yeah, they're probably going to have limited capacity. Like, I went and got a haircut last weekend, so, you know, that was an experience. They don't let you wait in the lobby. You have to have a mask on. There's only so many people that are allowed in at a time. You have to... you know, schedule an appointment ahead of time to be able to do that. So there's lots of modifications.
Yeah,
but,
even for the dentist, because I had this whole thing. Even for the dentist, like they took my temperature and my blood pressure, which I would expect in my doctor's office, but not my dentist. You know, it's just but obviously I don't care. Like I understand it's for a reason, but it's just weird.
Yeah.
By the way, Dark Sakura, in a related tangent, since Bobby did that little trip this week, he actually says in chat, this was my first time playing World Cup Soccer 94 after hearing Jamie talk a lot about it and really paying attention to it. It really is a fun game.
Yes, it is. Ours is out being shopped right now, so.
Oh.
We're having the side art repainted.
Well, hopefully that means it comes back bigger and better than before, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But finally, people appreciate it. You know, it's and I love basically the Papa Duke games. They're really fun.
All right. Well, speaking of things that are hopefully going to come back better and stronger later on, let's talk a little bit about Summer Games Done Quick. Now, Summer Games Done Quick hasn't been canceled per se, but the live event has been canceled, which, I mean, again, who's shocked? Who's surprised? But I'm sure we're all a little sad. I know Bobby was hoping to do some big things there. And, you know, I think a lot of people were really looking forward to Summer Games Done Quick in person. But they are going to move it to a completely virtual event, which will happen still on the same dates, August 16th through the 23rd. It's just the on-site portion that was scheduled to be in Bloomington, Minnesota will not be happening. And I'm sure no one is really surprised at this whole thing because, of course, the virus does still pose a risk to the public. And there probably isn't an easy way to modify something large like this. The usual charity will still be spotlighted. Summer Games Done Quick 2020 will be raising money for Doctors Without Borders. Last summer was the first time that the event broke $3 million. So we'll see if the virtual change, if, you know, that's going to allow them to still make a lot of money or if that's, you know, maybe that's going to take a little bit of a hit because it won't have that same in person. But I know they get a lot of support online and from all that. So I we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it's not their first virtual event. They did one not too long ago for the whole COVID-19 thing. So, I mean, that was fine. And, I mean, I'm fine with watching that again. So I look forward to this.
Oh, interesting. So Bobby says that he is still in the mix for Summer Games Done Quick. They're pulling hosts from the volunteer pool of people who volunteered for August. They're just going to do it over Discord instead. Well, I suppose that makes sense. Everything still has to be done virtually. And like Loki said, they did do that COVID event. So at least they've done a dry run of sorts, right? So we know they know what they're doing and they're going to be able to pull it off. It's just going to be a little different maybe than what it was before. But I still think it'll be a good event. And I still think a ton of people are going to watch. It's just going to be a little different. That's all. All right. Well, let's take a trip down memory lane. And every week here on the show, Dark Soccer likes to step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you ungrateful brats, you should be checking this game out in a segment that we call the Classic Game of the Week. But I think in response to a lot that's going on right now, you're going to change it up because it's your segment. And you can do what you want. Right, Jamie?
Yep.
So what are we doing?
Well, for this one, I want to take the narrative away from the classic games and go to a classic game designer. And in light of everything going on, I wanted to bring attention to a man who is, I would probably say, the person responsible for how we play our games today. And I'm talking about Jerry Lawson. He was a African-American engineer in an industry that wasn't super welcoming of black engineers. And he is really best known in the video game industry as being the designer for the Fairchild Channel F. He's Brooklyn born, 1940. His father had some interest in science, but he was just a hard worker. and his mother worked for the city, and he just started tinkering with stuff. You know, he liked little models that he was given, and then he started tinkering with ham radios, and he made and sold walkie-talkies, and he was all self-taught with just through experimentation with technology. And then he eventually left to go to Silicon Valley, as you do when you want to be in the tech industry. And he started working for Fairchild Camera and Instrument Corp. He actually found a video game, one of the first video games called Computer Space, came out in 1971, and it inspired him to make a game called Demolition Derby. It was a coin-op game. He built it in his garage. And he did it in 1975 with Fairchild's F8 microprocessors, and he tested it in a pizza parlor, you know, like you do. And also, it was one of the first microprocessor-driven games. So basically, his bosses heard of it, and they offered him a position as their head of a video division, video products division, and they were set to create the Channel F. And the big innovation here, and this is what really sets him apart from, the designers at the time, is that he essentially created removable game cartridges. Because back then, and I even have one of the dedicated Pong tables. I should have grabbed it and brought it out to show people, what stuff looked like before they were born. But he decided that cartridges that you could change out would be the future of the video game industry. And it was. He actually, if I recall correctly, I think that he had to petition the FCC. It was so novel at the time that he had to approve every cartridge that he produced by the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission. And it had all kinds of different controls. It had a pause button, which, who the fuck had a pause button on their game? This was new. Had just all kinds of neat stuff. I mean, the Channel F wasn't really that commercially successful, but the innovation with that is what gave us the Atari 2600 only a couple of years later. And he was actually the sole black member of the Homebrew Computer Club that contained Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak. And in fact, Lawson interviewed Wozniak for a position at Fairchild, but didn't hire him. And then he left Fairchild in 1980 and founded a company called VideoSoft that made software for the Atari 2600, because the 2600 had said Channel F what and beaten it. And so though they closed in 85 and he started to be a consultant, he worked with Stevie Wonder and created what was called the Wonder Clock that would wake a child with the sound of their parent's voice, but it never actually made it to production. And he worked in the Stanford mentor program, and he was starting to write a book about his life. And then he was honored in March 2011 as a pioneer for his work on the video game cartridge by the Video Game Developers Association, the IGDA. And he was honored for his achievement, even posthumously, for his development of the cartridge-based console model. In 2003, so before all of this happened, of course, he started having complications from diabetes. He lost the use of one leg and the sight from one of his eyes. And actually, I take that back. This happened a month after his 2011 award. But he died of complications from diabetes, and so he is survived by his wife, his two children, and his brother. And there was also a documentary about him, just a short one, that was developed by Bear Mac, called Profiles of African American Success Video Series. And then also what happened after his death is that his wife donated something like 20 plus pieces of his own personal collection. So it has the documents and preliminary design for VideoSoft games, and a complete gosh, what else was it? The blueprint of the Fairchild Channel F. It was a prototype cartridge called Math Quiz that was the first video game. It was a tie-in for the first video game themed television show called TV Pow. His other blueprints for like a copy of the circuit boards, so three generations of the Channel F circuit boards, various old cartridges that he had, including a few, again, pre-releases, like we had Flying Saucer, which was later renamed as Desert Fox, and Torpedo Alley. I mean, this is some pretty amazing stuff, and the fact that she donated it really, really contributes to us knowing more about the history of our games. So, of course it was wood grain. It was the 70s. I mean, geez. But at any rate, there is now the Jerry Lawson collection at the Museum of Play. And so I would be more than happy to post this in chat. But if you just look up the Museum of Play collections and look up Jerry Lawson, you'll find a good write-up about him. And absolutely just amazing what this man accomplished and how much we owe him. So, well done.
Yeah, this...
We salute you. Rest in power.
This whole thing does sound a little deja vu, and not in a bad way at all, because you've highlighted the System F as a system before, when you were doing the system every so often, every month or whatever. And I remember you talking about Jerry Lawson at that time. So, yeah, and he was one of those people that – and Bobby, who, again, had an excellent show tonight, made a really good – he spotlighted several black people and what they've contributed to video gaming, and obviously Jerry Lawson was one of them. And he brought receipts because he had a book sitting there about video game history, and he's like, there's no mention of Jerry Lawson in here. And it wasn't until later on that he really got recognized for what it was that he did. So, you know, because
that's what happened.
Right.
You know, in history, the first two things that get erased are the contribution of black people and the contributions of women.
Yeah, I that's so funny because I was just about to say, quick, can you name an Atari 2600 game made by a woman?
Not off the top of my head.
River Raid.
Yeah.
But that's
I knew that there was one and I forgot what it was.
I probably wouldn't know that unless, like, I, you know, again, it was like I think it's because we've spotlighted that game as well. Maybe, I don't know. But I knew that. But it's one of those things that, you know, we don't, I think it's very in the moment. I can't remember her name. I can go look it up very easy, but I couldn't tell you I can remember her name. Whereas who made Yar's Revenge? Howard Scott Warshaw. I remember that.
Yeah.
Who made Pitfall? David Crane. I remember that. Because they put his name in the title of the cartridge. To be fair, that was a whole other issue between Activision and Atari at the time that I'm deviating from what's important right now. But my how our industry has come a long way, at least.
Carol Shaw.
Take that. I should know that. But anyway, I have a relative with the exact same name. All right. Thank you. Bobby did Google it to try to save us there, so appreciate it. All right.
But at any rate, you know, we owe this man a lot.
And oh, yeah.
His name definitely needs to be uplifted in the annals of a video game lore.
Absolutely. Do you think you might end up spotlighting more people? From now, are you going to mix it up with people once in a while too, as opposed to just games and pinball or what have you, or is this a one-time thing or what? Not to put you on the spot, but I kind of like the idea of, I know David Crane, I know Howard Scott Warshaw, I know, but I maybe don't know about some other people that I need to know about.
Well, it's like the little, you know, girl in the meme. Why can't we do both?
Yeah, why not?
So, yeah, I'll figure it out. I'll make it happen.
So I think from here on out, Dark Sakura, it should just be the classic, like, spotlight of the week. And you might do a game. You might do a person. You might do a pinball table. You might do a, I don't know. You might do a
sewing machine.
Tiger Electronics. You might do a sewing machine if it has something to do with gaming. Why not?
I've done a sewing machine before.
How would the chat feel about that?
Yeah, chat.
Questbuster says, Bobby Blackwell says, just do a classic gaming podcast.
you know, that is not the first time it's been suggested. I've had a few people message me about doing a classic gaming podcast. And you and me and Dan had a talk about it once, you know, once a blue moon ago.
Yeah, but you know, I had to learn the hard lesson that I need to take on less, not more. So yeah. I will happily help you to the ends of the earth. But yeah, I will got to watch how much I allow myself to be a part of it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, at any rate, it is on there, and I know Marissa and I have talked about some things, but
fun.
I think I could do like a little 30-minute spot and go through some of these things. And now that I have more experience with Logic and Final Cut Pro, I can probably put it up on the tubes.
Awesome! I love that idea. All right. See. And by the way, I want to thank the listeners. The listeners had a suggestion on how to fix the syncing problem, and I think it worked. And that was to just reduce – if I reduce your guys' pictures a little bit, it would take less – and I think it worked. So I made you guys just a little bit smaller, but not too small. But I kind of cropped the pictures a little differently. I think it actually looks better too. So and that seems to have fixed the sync problem. So this is why I love having a live chat room. So go ahead.
But, I mean, it's not the first time someone made the suggestion to me, so.
All right. Well, look forward to the future. All right. Anyhow, yeah. We're going to move on. Dark Soccer, I don't know if you're taking an early leave tonight or if you're hanging. All right. I understand.
Work tomorrow.
Yeah, I understand. Anything you want to leave us with before you head out for the night?
Again, if you can do anything, do something. Lift up the voices of those around you. Donate if you can. There's that IO charity, you know. Just do something that uplifts the cause and doesn't bring it down. Black Lives Matter.
All right. Well said. Thank you, Dark Sakura. Appreciate you. Have a great night, and thanks for being here.
You right. too. Bye.
All right. As she drops Discord, I'm going to rearrange the, it's going to look a little funky here because it's going to change the layout on Discord. So I'm going to, rearrange things while Loki gets into rapid fire news. So Loki, you want to start us off with some rapid fire news?
Yes. Let's talk about a fan game. So this is Sonic 3D Blast, but in 2D. So Sonic 3D in 2D, is basically a fan game that reimagines Sonic 3D Blast, the plot of the game, but in your traditional Sonic format. So they have 15 acts, 8 zones, and it's free to play. So if you want to check it out, it's at sodanuck.itch.io/Sonic3D2D. And it looks pretty cool. They have a little trailer for it and stuff, but like I said, free. That's the important part. And go play it. And then also we've got some other fun stuff. So Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning is now being remastered. So it's you may remember that game a while back. It wasn't all that popular, but it was still a pretty decent game. It was supposed to be getting sequels, but then there was a whole bunch of mismanagement of money, and so well, we didn't end up getting it. So now, at least it gets a little bit of new life with this remaster, and who knows, maybe with the remaster, it might, you know, garner some more interest, and then maybe they can, you know, finance a sequel or something like that, so you never know.
And in chat, Questbuster says, Kingdoms of Amalur was not a bad action RPG, and I heard a lot of pretty decent things about that game as well, so this will be a good opportunity to maybe check it out again.
It's set to come out on August 18th, and the screenshots look pretty nice for it. It's also supposed to have all of its original DLC as well. Pretty interesting. I don't think Kurt Schilling is attached to this one.
No, so. No, he's way, he's old news, and bye. All right, I'm going to go back to crop you out just for a minute, Loki, to allow the cameras to catch up there while we're working with the sync issues. But I'm going to do some rapid fire news here real quick. I kind of referenced this one already earlier in the show, but there is a Clubhouse Games Pocket Edition. So it's kind of like the demo edition, if you will, of Clubhouse Games, where there are four games in it. Dominoes, Connect 4, although I don't think they call it Connect 4. It's a different version of it. Daifugo and Slot Cars. So that's kind of cool that there's like a free version. So even if you have no interest in Clubhouse Games, you can still get those four games in particular for free. And then if you have this, you can play localized multiplayer with somebody that has the full game. So that's pretty cool. So it's like a client that allows you to do kind of like that old school 3DS beaming gameplay, I guess, sort of. I don't know. That's kind of what it reminded me of. And then we have a quick story on Mortal Kombat Aftermath, which, of course, is the latest DLC for Mortal Kombat 11. Some rumors due to database scraping and the like that the characters included will be made available to individually purchase later in the month. So if you didn't already know, the characters of Shiva, RoboCop, and Fujin were added to Mortal Kombat through the Aftermath expansion. And right now you have to buy that expansion to get those characters, but maybe not everybody wants the expansion. Maybe for whatever reason you don't care about story, well, they'll sell it to you some way or the other. So yeah, you can check that out. According to a Steam update, those characters are supposed to be available June 16th, although there's been no official word as of yet, so take it with a grain of salt as of now. But it wouldn't surprise me if they were looking to do that, to sell those characters separately, because again, if there's a way to take your money, the gaming companies are going to figure out how to do that. So all right, let's travel around the world and check out some release dates. Loki, what do we have coming out in the U.S. this week, if anything?
Not too much. So we've got a game called Project Warlock that's coming out on PS4. Ease Memories of Celceta, that's coming out on PlayStation 4 as well. Also Project Warlock coming out later that week on the Nintendo Switch. And we have on PC Samurai Showdown, and also Samurai Showdown Neo Geo Collection. And then finally, at the end of the week, Project Warlock once again coming out on Xbox One. And that's it.
All right, traveling over to Japan and looking at the releases over there, I don't see anything on the Switch until June 18th. And then when I look at the PlayStation 4, I'm not sure I see anything right now either. Oh, The Wonderful 101 Remastered is kind of like your lone release in Japan on the PlayStation 4. That comes out on the 11th on the PlayStation 4. And, you know, I believe that already came out here in the U.S., so it's just a small delay there for Japan. But, yeah, I know fans of that on the Wii U are looking forward to playing that all over again. So, cool. How about Europe, Loki?
Europe, we've got Stellaris Console Edition coming out on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. Dungeon of the Endless on PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch. Looks like Spirit of the North on PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch. 1971 Project Helios on PlayStation 4 and Switch. Descenders, that's coming out on PlayStation 4 and Switch. And that's it.
All right. Let's go to our mailbag. Every week you guys send us emails and we like to read our favorites here on the show. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send your emails, and we will read them here on air. Let's go to our first email tonight from YYR, who actually sent this for last week's show that, as we discussed earlier, we didn't do one. So this should have been on last week's show if we had had one. So YYR starts, "Hello, LR. As you may remember, I have an IT day job, so I felt a need to chime in on something mentioned during last week's show. All modern browsers offer a private browsing mode. Whether it's called incognito mode, a private window, or in private browsing, its function is the same, but from what was said last week, it sounds like it's not what you think it is. The primary purpose of these private browsing modes is to prevent other folks who can physically access your computer from knowing where you've been. Pages that you visit using private browsing modes are not added to your history, and information entered in these pages will not be saved either. Cookies from these websites will also be deleted at the end of your session. And that's it. Everything else is the same. The websites you visit can still see and track everything you're doing. If you're browsing at work, your employer can still see all of your activity. And your internet service provider can see all of your traffic as well. So there you have it. Private browsing only actually gives you privacy from the other people in your living space." That is a pretty good call out about the fact that, and I'm deviating from the email, that's a really good call out about the fact that private browsing is not going to shut down the network chat. And that's how, like, your IT department could see it, or, people, the it's going to count towards your bandwidth on your cable bill or what have you. Using incognito mode does not shut that off. That's important. "If you actually want to not be tracked, then never log in anything and set your browser to delete all of your cookies at the end of every session. But that's super inconvenient, so most people don't bother. There's always a trade-off. Convenience versus security. Convenience versus privacy, etc. Enjoy. And one other thing from YYR. I actually do use Bing from time to time. It is good for a second opinion when Google isn't giving you what you want. Also, the reward points add up, and as a bonus, Microsoft isn't as interested in tracking your behavior as Google is. But we all have choices. Vote in November. Thanks again for putting the show together, and have a great week. Hugs from YYR. Thank you for that. And yeah, I've heard of people using Bing as an alternative, and I will give you that. The Microsoft reward thing does add up. Like, I was adding up the Game Pass stuff, and I went into the app and did other things. I ended up getting $5 off at Chipotle with the Microsoft rewards. So it does add. I got five whole dollars off of Chipotle, Loki.
It's like, with that kind of deals, man, you can almost get the diarrhea for free.
Ain't that the truth? Well, the funny thing, I wanted it to be kind of like redundant, where I'm actually paying for Xbox Live, Xbox Live Gold or whatever, through reward points, because that is something you can do. You can actually wish for more wishes on Microsoft rewards. But
that's how it works, or that's how it used to. Well, I don't know. I haven't really bothered to, like, that seems to be how it works with, like, GameStop and me. Like, I'd go there occasionally and buy stuff for my kids for, like, usually around the holidays or whatever. Uh-huh. And then they're like, oh, you got enough points to get the, you know, GameStop rewards or whatever thing. I'm like, okay, fine. I throw the magazine away every time it comes, you know, my mail. But I feel if I don't get the magazine, that's like a waste of money. You know, I don't really pay for it.
All right. Let's move on and get to our second and last email tonight. And this email comes to us from Mish. So Mish writes this. Dear OLR, firstly, I'd like to say please excuse my grammar mistakes, as I was never really good at writing letters and spelling and all that. Well, the good news is it's me and Doc Socrates, and I am a little more forgiving. Shh, we'll keep that between us. Okay. Because I'm terrible with that stuff too. Now down to the squishy parts. LOL. Anyway, you guys have been the biggest part of my life. Our lives, I should say. Anyway, I just want to say a huge thank you for the kind words you've expressed to me over what's been going on. You've always made me feel a part of a family, and I found a platform in which I have a voice to say what I need to say without regret. Anyway, I just wanted to say a huge thank you to everyone at OLR through this hard time we are all facing, and I look forward to every show. Sincerely, Mish. That email means more than you could know. Like, thank you. It's very rare that I can't think of anything to say, but this is one of those moments. Sometimes you just wonder in these, like, tricky positions and the timing of the world and everything. And when I do have this platform, even if it's a smaller platform, it is a platform. I always have that wonder in the back of my head, like, shit, am I using this appropriately? Am I being a good ally? Am I doing the right thing? And so to, like, get an email like that, that lets us know that at least in this case, like, yes, we're helping. Thank you. And I see that as, like, the least we can do is, you know, try to bring a smile to y'all's face, trying to make sure people are educated and informed too and awake and that stuff. That's important too. But if we can have a few laughs over Chipotle while we're at it, cool. So thank you so much for that. I really appreciate that. And yeah, it's emails like that that are going to keep this going for another 18 years. Let me tell you, thank you. Thank you for the heart reaction chat too. That's sums it up. All right. Let's move on. We have some more show to get to, some more news. Loki, why don't you start us off?
So yeah, so if you happen to have purchased Half-Life Alyx, you know, it being a Source 2 game, I was unaware that it had Steam Workshop support, but apparently it does, and people are getting pretty creative with the different levels they can make in it. So someone has went ahead and recreated PT in Half-Life Alyx. So yes, now you can play PT fully immersed in VR. That should be pleasant.
How about no? How about no?
Are you sure? I mean,
pretty sure.
And along with that, there's some other highlights. There's some folks converting maps from Portal 2 over to Half-Life Alyx as well. it doesn't quite have the portal functionality yet, so it's just kind of walking through that stuff. And then there's one that I saw pointed out called Overcharge, which looks like a Half-Life, a traditional Half-Life type of map. So pretty cool. I have to go check this stuff out. It's been a while since I looked at all this, but yeah, lots of different mods in there. Especially, was it last week, they also added that the liquid sloshing in the different wine bottles and stuff. Now they have like liquid physics in there, and it's pretty amazing.
I like this comment from chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Pod Culture says, I want to see Rob play and stream that. No. SG100 Matt said, look, I'm here for you guys to a point.
Well, I hear it.
And you found it.
It's not finished yet. They don't have any jump scares in it, I think.
Oh, well, that's a little better.
Very creepy, yeah.
SG100 Matt says, Flacco needs to speedrun PT in Half-Life Alyx. Hey, I'm all about that. Of course, I can't speak for Flacco, so that's up to Flacco. Phoenix7726 asks in chat, is there a Five Nights at Freddy VR yet? I believe there is. They did do a Five Nights VR game.
Yes,
but
it's
like a spinoff. It's like a spinoff, right? It's not the same name. It's not like the first game in VR. It's like a specifically VR title, right?
Yeah, it's like Help Wanted, I think, is what the subtitle is on that. Mm-hmm. I thought about getting it for my kids, but that means they'd be bugging me.
What a loving father you are.
It was their request.
All right.
You know, it would just be like they'd be bothering me to, you know, no, hook up the VR. I want to play VR. And it's a hassle. So, but they do have it out there. You can play a Five Nights at Freddy's game.
All right. Love it. I will not be playing. All right. I will play this, though. I may not play the PT in Half-Life Alyx, but I will totally play this next one. And that is a Pac-Man Championship Edition D-Make. So, but it's official. Like, a lot of times when we talk about these D-Makes, you know, we're talking about somebody made, like, a ROM hack, like a Halo 2600 or something. Or I shouldn't say ROM hack, but, you know, maybe programmed a homebrew or something. Did something from the ground up with that. But this is actually like official from Namco, and that is the D-Make of Pac-Man Championship Edition. So this is pretty cool. If you pick up all 10 launch titles in the Namcot collection, it's not a typo or a mispronunciation. Namcot is what Namco was being called for a short time when they were putting these games out on the NES. If you buy like all 10 launch titles, you get a special retro D-Make of Pac-Man Championship Edition from 2007. I think that's really cool. Now, Namcot Collection was actually announced before. This was the new news this week. But you can actually see a trailer online for the Namcot Collection. And you can just buy the whole thing as a collection. Or you can piecemeal the games one at a time on the eShop. I want to say that recent River City Ransom Kunio-kun Collection is really similar to this. You can get a physical edition with everything, or they've got a lot of those games piecemeal available. Like if you just want River City Ransom, you can get that. I think on like PlayStation 4 or whatever. So anyway, in the Namcot collection, Wagyan Land, Pac-Man, Galaga, Tower of Draga, Battle City, Star Luster, Family Jockey, Yokai Dochuki, Dragon Spirit, Mendel Palace, and Splatterhouse. So that's really cool. So, but that's, you know, a Japanese collection. So are we going to get to play that in the U.S.? And what we found out this week is, yes, they are going to put out a version of this in the U.S., except they're not going to call it the Namcot Collection. They're going to call it Namco Museum Archives Volume 1 and Namco Museum Archives Volume 2. They are both coming out on June 18th. And so the titles that will be in Volume 1 are Dig Dug, Dragon Buster, Dragon Spirit, Galaxian Mappy, Pac-Man, the 8-bit D-Master of Pac-Man Championship Edition, Splatterhouse, Sky Kid, Tower of Draga, and Xevious. In Volume 2, Battle City, Dig Dug 2, Dragon Buster 2, Galaga, Gal Plus, Legacy of the Wizard? What? Fuck yes! Finally, after all these years, I'm so about... Do you remember that game on the NES? That game was hard as balls. That game is hard, but it's so good.
I don't remember it offhand. I probably would if I saw it.
Oh my god, it's such a good game. Mappy Land, Mendel Palace, Pac Land, Rolling Thunder, and Super Xevious. Some of these games were never localized and released in the West. So these Namco, because like I thought the Namcot collection sounded good, and then we had to go and up it into this Namco Museum thing going on. I think that is awesome. So yeah, I'm really excited to look like that. So.
No, I don't think I've ever played this game.
Oh, did you look it up on YouTube?
Yeah, I mean, box art sort of looks familiar, but I don't think I ever played it.
Oh, yeah. It's like, it was a game where, like, you had, like, you could pick one of four adventurers that was, like, part of a family, and you went through, it was probably called something else in Japan, and I don't remember the exact name, because I want to say it was, like a multi-part series in Japan. I'm trying to actually bring up some footage here, but I'm having to multitask to do it here. But somebody's got it, so let me see if I can actually bring up a little bit. Oh, now I'm looking at ads. Tiger Claw, though, in our chat room did link some pictures from the D-Make, so if you want to check that out. And for those listening on the podcast feed, you could always, I'm sure, look that up and just Google it like Tiger Claw did and find that. So now we're actually looking at some footage there from Legacy of the Wizard. That's what it looked like on the NES. And yeah, it was kind of like a old school RPG with shops and inns and things like that. And so it looks like right now they're playing as the dad in the family, and you play one of four characters. And yeah, thank you, Dr. Tsuya. It's Dragon Slayer. That's it. It was called Dragon Slayer. And this was like Dragon Slayer 3 or 4 or something. And then they localized it. So it was a cool game. I can't believe this is in that upcoming Namco bundle. That's like the best news of the week. You know what, though, Loki? This is important to talk about. You know what? Is that if we get this, because this was published by Broderbund in the U.S., if Legacy of the Wizard has finally made its way to a modern system after all these years, maybe there's hope for another Broderbund published game. Maybe. Maybe there's a small bit of hope that another 8-bit Broderbund published game will make its way out. You know what game I'm talking about?
No, what game are you talking about?
The Guardian Legend, because I'm always talking about the Guardian Legend, because that game needs its due.
Just have the Guardian Legend collection. It's just Guardian Legend. I know they have Guardic, but like...
Well, sure, why not? Guardian. Why not? Guardic and Guardian Legend. I'm here about that. So, Namco Museum 3, you out there? Y'all out there? Work on that. I don't know. You must. If you got Legacy of the Wizard, then maybe you own the rights to that one too. I don't know, but get on it. All right. I'll shut up now. Let's move on, Loki.
All right. So apparently there's a leaked copy of a build of Dead Island 2 from 2015 that has been out there on the internet now. It looked kind of cool. It's still definitely a work in progress. Lots of placeholder assets in the game. But it kind of gave you an idea of what the gameplay looked like, which is very different from the original Dead Island, from what I remember. Definitely way over the top, you know, with the different weapons, like saw blade launchers and stuff like that. Almost kind of like that Far Cry 5 game that they just put out recently. Interesting. I don't know how I can play said thing, because this has obviously been leaked out there, and I don't know where you can download it, but it is interesting to see how kind of like there's even some developers that worked on it talking about like some of the stuff that was in there. Neat, but I don't know. Will I ever see the full Dead Island 2 game, or did they even get canceled? I can't remember.
I don't even know if they ever officially canceled it. I remember seeing this at like the last E3 I went to was like in 2014.
A long time ago. And I sort of remember the trailer for it, but man, it's like, I don't know. Oh yeah, leaked on 4chan, of course. Why not? That's where all the other leaks have been coming from. So yeah,
whatever. So, I thought though there was like a rumor that somebody else had taken it over and that they had kind of restarted development. So I'm not sure the game is truly dead, but we might be looking at a Duke Nukem Forever kind of situation, for better or for worse.
It looks cool though. I mean, like I don't know, like I'd be down. There was like, even earlier this week, there was another video that was out there of like an old Marvel Avengers game that they were supposed to be. I don't remember who was working on that, but like it was.
I saw that too. Yeah. I saw that too. Yeah, it was THQ.
Okay.
It was THQ.
Yeah, THQ. But like it looked okay. Like I would have played that, but you know, obviously there's the new Avengers game now, which I don't know. We'll see. But it's neat to see these games that like kind of get canceled or like, you know, I don't know if this is ever coming out. Obviously, if it does come out, it's going to look nothing like this, but still neat.
I wanted to ask you about this, actually, Loki, because speaking of, like, you know...
Oh, I guess it is canceled from what it says here. It says, Jaeger teams... It says, Jaeger boss Timo Ullmann said when it was revealed that Dead Island 2 was canceled.
So. Oh, bummer. I wanted to ask you about this because I didn't talk about it during my gaming week, but I finally bought a game from the Epic Game Store because of the sale and somebody pointing out to me that I don't have to give them my credit card because I can use PayPal as an intermediary. So I I double dipped on Tetris Effect and I bought it for like $17. First off, worth it because Tetris Effect in 4K. I mean, Tetris Effect in VR is great, but Tetris Effect in 4K also great. So now it's like I can choose which way to play. So it's great. But when I was on the Epic Game Store, I also noticed, oh, yes, they're pushing this Saints Row 3 remaster thing. And I was like, oh, I should ask Loki if he has jumped on board with that yet or you're waiting or what.
I was going to, but it was $40. And it's like,
yeah, it'll.
I probably
wait, well, let me guess, wait for Black Friday.
It'd be technically $30 because they gave me $10 for downloading a free copy of Grand Theft Auto. So,
right.
I mean, I could do it. It looked interesting. I'm going to wait for a sale because I haven't played Saints Row 3 in a while. And I just got the 4 remastered not too long ago. So I don't really need to do this right away.
All right, fair.
I don't know.
All right. Well, moving on to one more story we have on the list tonight about Pokemon Go and a new feature that's coming out for Pokemon Go. I don't know how many of you out there are still playing Pokemon Go. I am. I did enough of those quests. Like, I did the quests every week where I unlocked the special quest for free, where I'm stuck on doing 15 raids right now.
Well, I was going to say, like, speaking of Pokemon Go, like, I know that you accidentally chatted in the wrong chat room, but, like, I found out from you that Ingress has that new drone feature or whatever. That's kind of cool.
It does. Actually, let me come back to that, because the Ingress drone thing is actually, it's the best thing to happen in a game in a long time. Let me come back to that, though. First, Pokemon Go. Let's talk about the game everybody knows, then we'll talk about the game no one knows. Okay, so first, Pokemon Go. They are going to be doing some new updates they announced. They're going to be allowing you to do stickers on gifts. Woohoo! So when you send gifts to friends, you can put a little sticker on it. Okay, cute, I guess. But it adds to the collectability factor, and some people will be into it. Maybe kids, you know, maybe adults too. I don't know, but that's a cute little feature. But then the other one that has a lot of people talking is about inviting friends to remote raid battles. And that isn't necessarily one where you have to necessarily be there. So what'll happen when the feature goes live, a plus button will appear in a raid lobby and you can invite up to 5 friends to join you and they will get a pop-up on their screen. And then that will allow your friends to all enter the raid lobby so they don't have to be right there in range. That's going to be a game changer.
That's
because,
pretty cool, yeah.
Like, I could be like, Shane, there's an Oshawott nearby. Do you want to raid it with me? And I could invite him, even though he lives in another state, and we could raid it. So, you know, as an example, that is really cool, and I'm really excited about that. So I'm curious to see what changes that brings, because now maybe our Discord chat that we have, because of course we do have a Discord over at vognetwork.com/discord, and we have a Pokemon Go channel. Because there's enough people that are into Pokemon Go to talk about it. I wonder if pretty soon it's not going to turn into, hey, ActDeft will say, hey, there's a small group of us in Mexico that want to raid, but we need a few more. Can I invite some of you? And you could actually do that. I think that sounds really cool. So I can't wait to see the implementation of this. We'll see what comes of that. Now let's talk about the game that nobody plays. So Ingress implemented what's called the drone this week. And so what it is at first face value, it looks like that it just allows you to hack portals anywhere in your scanner's range, kind of like how Pokemon allows you to raid. But it actually put in this whole new metagame. Have you played with the metagame at all, Loki?
No.
So, okay. So what happens, let's say I take my drone. And I'm going to start, and let's say I start it from my house, and I have to deploy it at a portal within my scanner range. So I'm going to go deploy it at the park that's near here. So I deploy it there at the park. You can hack one portal, and then there will be an hour-long cooldown where your drone is there at that portal. If the enemy faction comes by and destroys that portal, or the portal's polarity changes in any fashion, the drone is basically destroyed and returned to you. But no big deal, right? Because I just send it out again. But here's the twist. when you move the drone after an hour, you're not moving it from your location. You're moving it from the drone's location. So now you pick a new portal to move to somewhere in the drone's scanner range. So you're portal hopping. So right now, I'm not hacking the portals near my house. I am about 3 miles down the main thoroughfare I live near, hopping from portal to portal down the entire street right now. So my drone is 3 miles from here in another city right now.
Can you link from those as well? Or
no, you can only hack.
Only hack.
So you can't play the whole game, but it does. But I like the whole fact that the drone destroying thing, and you don't know. I hope they put it in at some point that like you'll know if you killed somebody's drone, because right now you can't see if somebody's drone is on a portal or anything like that. You just, you know, if it gets back to you, it gets back to you. But they put in some new badges for unique portals hacked by your drone and furthest drone flight you've obtained. So I'm up to like 4 kilometers on my drone flight right now. And I, as soon as the show's over, I'm going to keep hopping down the thoroughfare and see how far I get. So I love, cool. It's an interesting new meta. Like, it doesn't change the existing game, but I like the whole fact that it's like, ooh, I'm going to sneak this drone around and try to rack up these statistics and some gear. And maybe if you don't want to like do a travel thing, you could leave your drone at a farm and just keep circling the portals at the farm once an hour and get gear that way. So
that's cool. Yeah.
I mean, it's an interesting little twist on the game. So I applaud Niantic for it. Niantic's done a lot of good shit this week. Like, they really, really have. Like, you gotta give credit where that's due. That's for sure. All right. Well, this brings us into the listener roundtable with our chat room. So if you guys have anything you'd like to discuss or bring up on the show, please feel free. Sadly, during this remote recording time, we're not really inviting the calls on Discord just because it screws up all the images and things like that. But we are definitely curious to hear your thoughts. If you have anything you want to say, you can put that in the chat room. If you're feeling too shy tonight or you're listening on the podcast feed, of course, you can always tweet us at OLR. You can always email us mailbag@orangeloungeradio.com. Excuse me, that is the wrong email address. I don't know why I gave like the 7-year-old email address. The correct email address is participate@orangeloungeradio.com. And you can, why did I give the, like, we haven't used that email address in like 7 years. Anyway, participate@orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send emails and we will read them on the air. I will blame the surgery, the anesthesia, and the pain pills for my inability to recall things right now. Loki, while we wait to see if anybody in our chat has something to say, do you have any last minute stories for us? Can I ask this? What's your background? Yeah. I didn't ask it earlier in the show.
So my background, see, because this VCam software, you can use just like a picture, or you can use you can use a YouTube video. So I just have a YouTube video with just stuff looping. So it's looping the same 2-minute video. So what's kind of funny, though, is like I wanted to do, I have this video, it's like a video game study radio, I like, or study lounge radio or something like that. And I used that on when I was doing like the game development streams and stuff as background music. But it has a lot of text in it and it reverses it. And there's no way to like tell it not to do that. And so I didn't like the way it looked. So I put this because there's not much text in there. Oh, actually, no, wait, it doesn't reverse it. Dang it. Okay, so reverse. I hate that with like all these Zoom and stuff where it reverses it when you look at your screen, but it's not actually reversed in the video. So
I seriously thought looking at your background, I was looking at like a Sierra Online adventure game. I was like, is that a Leisure Suit Larry game? What is that? Because that would be a very you thing to do.
No. It's like a shop or something.
All right. Question from Garth the Wolf in chat. Just joined, so I apologize if you mentioned this already, but Rob, have you picked up Nier Automata again? I haven't. I'm sorry. I need to get back to it. It's on my list. But in my defense, I picked up a RPG that people are equally obsessed with, Xenoblade Chronicles, and I'm making my way through that on Switch right now, and I'm kind of loving it. So please forgive me. I've put one RPG on the back burner for another. Let's see. Dark Tetsuya says, my wife went to rest, but thanks so much for all the kind words. See, Rob did it too. You're welcome. Any time. And yeah, nothing but love here at OLR for all of you guys. ActDef says, so what do you guys expect on the eventual PlayStation 5 event? Well, we don't know when it's going to happen now at this point. Obviously, they're kind of waiting for, I mean, and it's a weird line to walk because I don't think the calls to address racial equality and things that we need to address in this country. I don't think those things are going to die down anytime soon. They shouldn't. We like until we have change, like this has to be a momentum we keep going. So I'm not sure when Sony will find the appropriate time again. But I think we'll try to find that kind of balance between we're going to have these discussions and we can continue to talk about, you know, video games. So I would imagine Sony does that later this month. But they probably have to play it by ears by what goes on in the national news. You know, Trump could do something stupid and this whole thing goes on longer, like loudly longer. Trump could do something smart and resign. And that could take over the conversation for a little while, too. I know it won't, but I'm just saying, you never know. A broken clock's wrong twice a day, right? So we'll see. Garth the Wolf does say, I forgive you. Persona 5 Royal has been taking my time. All right, well, let's say the PlayStation 5 event happens next week, even though I doubt it does. What are you going to expect to see from that event, Loki?
I don't know. Not gameplay. I mean, gameplay, we'll receive that, but it won't be actual gameplay. Hopefully something exciting. Like, I don't know. I don't really know what to expect because, like, there's, you know, obviously Last of Us 2 is going to be coming up, but that's not necessarily PlayStation 5. I mean, I guess they could have, like, an enhanced version of that stuff, but I'm hoping to see new things. I mean, it's all going to be new franchises or new entries in franchises, I would hope, and I don't know. I don't know what to expect from it, and I guess that's good, but, like, I don't really have, like, a huge stake in the game for either console. I just want to see some, like, good games out of it, and so far, like, I don't know that it's been very, like, I don't know what these are. There's some gameplay footage, you know, but I don't know what half of it is. Really, it's whoever has Ridge Racers who I'm going to be the most excited about.
I think, like any typical E3 press conference we're used to, which is essentially what this is going to be of sorts, I think there will be a mix of pre-rendered trailers that just show off ooh prettiness, and I think you'll see like Gran Turismo 7 featuring in-game footage. I think you are going to see like some of that. I think we will see one or two games that get a deep dive and they do actually show gameplay. Because even at E3 on the main stage, they usually do that. There'll be one or two games they take a deep dive. And my gut tells me Horizon Zero Dawn Part 2 or whatever's coming next in the A-list story. I think that is going to be your show-offy game. I think we all know that's coming. I think there's a big call for it. I think it's something that's going to look really good on the PlayStation 5. I think it's something a lot of people are going to get behind, and that's the one that my gut tells me they're going to really show-offy a Horizon Zero Dawn Part 2. I agree with what Tiger Claw is saying in chat with hopefully they demonstrate the power of having this new SSD built into the system and what it does for in-game load times. I think you will see PlayStation 4 games on PlayStation 5, and they're going to use that SSD to kind of show you the difference and show you what games look like. And they're going to use it as an opportunity to remind you of things like Last of Us Part 2, Ghost of Tsushima, and the things that they've been hyping up lately. Final Fantasy 7 Remaster or Remake or whatever will be in there as well. And they're gonna kind of show you how these games are better with PlayStation 5. And then I think we are going to get a rich amount of backwards compatibility fucking finally in Sony's universe, right? Because we haven't had it since the OG PlayStation 3s. Which were so limited. We haven't seen backwards compatibility truly since then. So I think we're going to get to really see some backwards compatibility in how PlayStation 2 games act, how PlayStation 3 games act, and so on. And I'm going to be so fucking happy if my PlayStation 2 discs just work in a PlayStation 5. And after all these years just sitting on those games, I'm going to reap the benefits of holding on to those games, and they're going to work on the PlayStation 5. I will be so fucking happy if that digital library that I've built up on PlayStation 3 over the years is just going to be there on PlayStation 5 the first day. Like, just imagine. Yeah, it's probably going to be an expensive system, and I think they're setting the bar that they may be more expensive than Microsoft, but I think they're really going to try to show, hey, day one, you have 100 games available to you because of the library you've built up on the PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4.
And I'm fine with that nowadays. I mean, like, with everybody dropping the kind of money that they do on phones and everything, I wouldn't be surprised if it's, you know, that expensive. I just would like that information. I know we're not going to get that information anytime soon. It's probably not until the fall, at least. We will know prices and dates and that kind of things. I just would like to see what they're going to offer me as, like, far as, like, I know the tech specs and stuff, but that doesn't mean anything to me until I see what the gameplay is going to be like. I'd like to know more about their controller that they showed off, because it just looks like the last controller, but I know that they've done other things to it that make it unique. So, like, show me that.
I want to address some comments in chat here because a lot of people lighting up about the backwards compatibility. SG100 Matt says that may be a system seller for me in regards to the backwards compatibility. Tiger Class says it would be great if a PlayStation 3 disc works on the PlayStation 5 as well. Absolutely. ActDev says if they actually do backwards compatibility like that, buying day one. And Pixelpaka says PlayStation 2 would be my dream. And why stop there? Let's go all the way back to the original PlayStation. I would be so thrilled. And I feel like Sony may be hearing that message. And if they really can put it out there like that, where it's like, bam, it all works, that is going to be huge. I think, like, we have, and there could even be a message beyond that, we have worked for 20 years to get to this point, and you've worked for 20 years to get to this point, and now it's all available to you on PlayStation 5.
And you're gonna have to work another 20 years to pay this console off.
Now She-Hulk 10 in chat says if they don't, it is the end of PlayStation. I agree. However, we do know that Sony is doing at least PlayStation 4 backwards compatibility. That is a fact. They're showing off the PlayStation 5 using PS4 Spider-Man to show some of the SSD. They've already openly talked about PlayStation 4 backwards compatibility. So the good news is there is some backwards compatibility. We just don't know, is it only a little bit? Or is it like Rob's dream scenario he just explained that a lot of you seem to be excited about too? Like, on what scale is Sony going to land on with that? And I'm crossing my fingers. All right, let's get one more comment here. Garth the Wolf in chat says, Rob, I'm finally getting Shadowbringers, but need to play through Stormblood as well. What server do you play on for Final Fantasy 14 now? No promises I can migrate to it, but I'm curious. I play on Cactar, and I don't see myself leaving anytime soon because I have a house there. And trying to get a house in the game is impossible. So that's the server I play on. That's the Aether data. Really, the data center is most important because you can play with anybody on the data center. It says Aether. So it's the same cluster as Gilgamesh, Midgarsimer, Fairy. There's a lot of big servers in that cluster. So, Dr. Tsuya talking about the backwards compatibility. Isn't Microsoft already kind of doing that? Hopefully, Sony will try to follow suit. Dr. Tsuya, yes, they are. So I think that's why it is important for Sony to be able to beat or exceed that, because as cool as it is that Microsoft's doing it, PlayStation goes back even further than Microsoft with the PlayStation 1. And in some regards, I mean, PlayStation 2 and Xbox are kind of from the same generation, but I think the libraries on those consoles are very different. So I think if Sony can say we've included PlayStation and PlayStation 2, like, they'll have the bragging rights to an even richer library than Xbox does. But not to knock what Xbox is doing, because I'm very excited about what Xbox is doing, and I love their approach, and I can't wait to see what they have to say about cloud gaming. So it's an exciting time to be a gamer. It really is. And in the coming weeks, we're going to get to see more and more about what's going to be happening. So, all right. I guess with that, if you have no other last minute stories, Loki, then I guess we'll wrap up.
I was going to say, just reminders, because of all these different dates. So, like, you know, we have all these digital events that are happening relatively soon, maybe a little bit later because of the events going on in the world. But the next one that's supposed to be happening, though, is June 8th, which is the IGN Expo. So they're supposed to be showing off some games tomorrow to actually see. I don't know what they're going to be showing, but
is that still scheduled for tomorrow? Because I thought I heard they bumped some of that back. Or was that stuff that was already scheduled this weekend that got bumped back?
It was stuff that was scheduled this weekend that got bumped back. So it was supposed to be on the 5th, I think, and then it got bumped to the 8th.
Okay.
They're also supposed to be having something happen on June 9th as well. So it was supposed to be 3 days of digital stuff, but I guess it's going to be starting on June 8th. So we'll at least have some stuff that they'll be showing off this week. One of the games apparently that they've talked about already that they're going to be showing is Samurai Jack Battle Through Time. And then apparently they've got some announcements from Funcom and Merge Games and new trailers and whatnot. So I guess we'll have to wait and see what that is. And then let's see, the next thing after that is probably not going to be until the following week with a PC Gamer show and Guerrilla Collective on the 13th. And yeah, both on the 13th.
Yeah, I mean, this week would have been E3 week, so it's going to be really interesting to see what it looks like now. Not, I mean, obviously, everything we talked about at the beginning of the show tonight is a huge, like, you know, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate right now. But even before that, COVID-19 and the effect that that was going to have, I mean, this is just, it's going to be a very interesting year for the news cycle and how we get teased with the fall announcements and all of that. So buckle up, everybody. All right. Well, with all of that, I think it's time to end the show. I know we're done a little early tonight, but this obviously with all the announcements getting pushed back and a lot of things were getting targeted for this next week anyway, there just wasn't as much news. We had some other bigger issues we needed to spend a good chunk of the show talking about. I'm sure you all understand. But I really appreciate you guys being here. Really appreciate all the kind words. I've seen some, I will acknowledge the bit donations and the follows and all that good stuff after the show. I just want to say I see you, I acknowledge you. And even the people that we don't see on Sunday nights who listen on the podcast feed, just know how much we all appreciate you being there and supporting Orange Lounge Radio. It means the lot. It means a lot. And let's just, you know, if I could take, I guess snowballing this into my final thought a little bit, I'll say the line I always say. If you liked what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we want to bring those voices to the table. And I guess, like, along with that, I would say, you know, that sense of the support that you show to us, let's make sure we're showing that support to each other and our Black friends and family in this time. Show that support to each other. It's so important and so necessary. And, this is just me sending you guys a big, big hug and all of our Black family that's out there listening. And I'm going to do my very best to support you the best I can and be a good ally for you. And I hope my actions will show that. So that's my final thought. Loki, your final thought?
My final thought is going to be I'm going to be playing more games this week, especially since I bought that bundle of 700 some games and I don't even know what's in that. I know there's game assets in there too, and board games and books and comics and a bunch of other stuff. So check it out.
It's been scrolling along the bottom throughout tonight's show. It's the itch.io. So I hope y'all have checked that out for sure. For sure. So yeah.
$5 at the very least for 700 games, you know, and other things,
but it's a great cause. So if you can bump it up to 10, 15, 20, 25,
absolutely.
Bump it up a little. All right, that's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys for being here. Appreciate you all. We will see you next week. That's it. We'll see you in 7 days, and we'll see what video game news there is to discuss. Thank you, Loki, for staying here with me throughout the whole show. And thanks, of course, to Dark Soccer, even though she had to leave early. And thanks to you all, each and every one of you all. Happy gaming this week. I don't know what else to say. Just big, big hugs for everybody, and thinking of all you guys this week. Take care. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.